Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 146. Ben Flanagan of AL.com. Graham Flanagan of Business Insider.
Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Going great, Graham. What's up?
Well, you texted me a while ago, said you were deep water horizoning, and I deep water horizoned last night. And if you're not down with the lingo, that means that we both respectively saw the new movie Deepwater Horizon, directed by Peter Berg, starring Mark Wahlberg, Kate Hudson, Kurt Russell, John Malkovich, among others. And it tells the story of the Deepwater Horizon disaster that happened in April of 2010, where an oil rig just exploded and burned, an offshore oil rig, that is, off the coast of Louisiana. Subsequently, it caused just unprecedented environmental damage, not only to the land and the coastline, but to so many animals and wildlife in that region, in that area. So it's a story we know very well. And I have to say, you know, I was intrigued by how Peter Berg would handle the subject matter. It's, you know, it's a serious topic. He's tackled serious subject matter before. Lone Survivor, which I haven't seen yet. I'm very excited to see that. But he's also done like Battleship and The Rundown and things like that, just sort of popcorn, fun action flicks. So I was very excited to see how this went, and I was blown away by it. And it's my favorite movie of 2016 so far. Before I go into my reasons for that, I'd love to get your take, Ben.
I really liked it a lot. I did. And, you know, I actually liked Lone Survivor, too. And I think more than anything, it functions as a really good action movie. And I don't think that's a disservice or I don't think that's disrespectful to the true story that it tries to tell. I think that Peter Berg just happens to be a really solid genre filmmaker and has really solid talents when it comes to telling stories through action and other aspects of genre filmmaking. So I think the same goes for Deep Horizon to an extent, but for the most part, I think the movie's really intense, and to its credit, it's really straightforward, and it's way less Hollywoodized than some of the movies that he's made, especially a true story like Lone Survivor. I think this is a better movie than that overall. But again, for the most part, it really sticks to the true story element of it, which is the most important in telling this as reverently as you can. Now, it does have its moment, again, of that Hollywoodization that I talked about, that you see in Lone Survivor and some of the other stuff that we may see in Patriot's Day coming up this winter, which, again, reteams him and Mark Wahlberg and attempts to tell a real-life story of a very recent history. But I was interested in Deepwater Horizon, you know, on a few different levels, because it's a movie that definitely hits close to home in terms of where we're from geographically. It had an incredible environmental, like you said, impact on the Gulf of Mexico, which obviously borders Alabama and Mobile and different parts of the state where we're from, and obviously a cultural impact, an economic impact, and it really changed the Gulf of Mexico and the surrounding areas and the places that border that body of water for many years. So I was very interested not only in how he was going to sort of tackle the subject matter, like you mentioned, but I think what the strength of this movie is that it doesn't really go for the big picture necessarily. There are definitely themes that it explores in that regard, but my interest here is about the immediacy of the moment, what happened to the people that were on that oil rig when it exploded in the immediate aftermath, how people responded, how people acted, how people helped one another, and what goes through people's heads, what their demeanor is like, and what they have to do in a situation like that to stay safe and to help others. And I think, again, that's the big strength of this, and that's where the emotional core of it lies, because you care about all of the characters. Mark Wahlberg is a compelling lead actor here, and there's a lot of great support from Kurt Russell and Kate Hudson, who's back at home as Mark Wahlberg's wife, and Gina Rodriguez and several other actors who do a really good job here and pulling off the story that Berg is trying to tell. It's simple. Again, it's to the point. It's not a very long movie, and it moves really fast. It was over before I knew it, but no, I really like that. I think it's one of Berg's stronger movies.
Well, I want to talk about that term Hollywoodized, because there are a few aspects of the movie in terms of the story that I think will get a lot of criticism from like serious film fans. And I think that you can point to a few instances in the movie. There are three instances of foreshadowing that occur before the explosion happens, before the disaster happens. Three very, you know, what some people might call heavy-handed or obvious instances of foreshadowing. One, which is in the trailer with the little girl asking her dad to you know, show, basically do a little science experiment to show how the oil rig works. And they do that with a Coke can, and everything's going great, and then it just explodes. It's like, okay, we know that's going to happen later. Second, Kurt Russell criticizes one of the VP executives for wearing a tie, and he says, "What's wrong with my tie?" And he says, "It's not the tie; it's the color of the tie, which is the magenta, which is the color of our warning color when something bad happens." Okay, we know we're probably going to see that magenta warning later. We know, in fact, that we're going to see it. Then, when they're taking their chopper out to the rig, they hit a bird on the way out there. So, three in a row instances of foreshadowing. But for me, it was fine. You know, this is, like you said, straightforward storytelling. I didn't mind that at all. And, you know, you get, in terms of other aspects of the movie that are Hollywoodized, I think the back and forth, the banter, the humorous banter that we get in the first third of the movie definitely is consistent with that bro-ish banter, locker room banter that we see a lot in, like, Michael Bay movies. But again, didn't bother me. It was very consistent throughout. And at the end of the day, all the characters were portrayed as having like a lot of respect for one another, and they made you respect what they did. And you know, now what was Hollywoodized that I don't think anybody can criticize is the spectacle of this, the way that they were able to create the effects that made it look like this disaster was actually happening again, you know, a combination of a lot of CGI and practical effects. I mean, they built a massive rig, sort of base off the coast of New Orleans that was a real set. And it's really incredible if you look at some behind-the-scenes photos of it. Then there was just the way that they handled fire in the movie. A lot of it, I'm sure, was practical. A lot of it was CGI. To me, it was just seamless. I thought this movie looked incredible in terms of the special effects, all the way just to the practical cinematography of just actors existing in this environment. I thought that was it just looked fantastic. So then you have the sound. I mean, the sound was unbelievable, and you got to think that this is a favorite to at least, if not get nominated in both sound categories, to potentially win. So what did you think about the visual aesthetic of the movie?
Yeah, I think that it's a pretty superior technical achievement, and that's probably the biggest thing that Peter Berg needs to hang his hat on, and something that I think is a direction that his career might trend now as a director. Not to say that he hasn't had impressive technical movies in the past, but I think this one is kind of a cut above of those since then. And no, you're totally right. I mean, like the movie that it's interesting to watch a 2016 disaster movie and sort of like what that looks like now. Like last year, a couple of years ago, San Andreas came out, and that's sort of like the genre disaster movie that is probably 10 years too late, that is really lenient on CGI and is kind of goofy. This is, again, more on the serious side. There's an element of actual realism to it, including how the characters talk to each other. None of that really bothered me very much. You know, the fact that it's weird, I was thinking as I was watching it, like, when did Peter Berg just sort of like decide, you know what, I'm going to be Paul Greengrass from now on, and I'm just going to make a movie like Paul Greengrass would make. And so I think that there's definitely elements of influence there. Not to say that this is just like a Paul Greengrass movie. It definitely feels like it in spurts.
The movie, especially Captain Phillips. I mean, wouldn't you think?
For sure. And other, some of his other work too, but the movie I thought about as I was watching this, and this is a total compliment to it and a total compliment to that movie, is Titanic, actually. Just if nothing else, you cannot you cannot fault Titanic as a technical, just like monstrous technical achievement. And there's no doubt that it has left an impression on Hollywood and how people film movies like this. And I just remember watching it today, and when they're in the oil rig and in all sorts of different parts after the explosion has happened, where you see the aftermath and just the damage that it has done, the set that they built reminded me of some of those interior stuff that you'd see in Titanic. And then once they go outside and you see like wide shots of it and all of the fire and the damaged oil rig with exterior shots and stuff, again, it reminded me of the scope of a disaster movie or a disaster feeling like that. And it felt real and it felt scary. I mean, that I think, again, is the biggest strength of this movie outside of the technical achievement is the feeling of intensity. And that's something that the trailer totally brought, and it's what sold me on seeing it in a theater on the big screen with good sound. I think that this movie might lose a bit of a step if you're watching it on a smaller screen with poorer sound. I think that this is one of those that benefits from seeing in a theater. Would you agree?
Oh yeah, absolutely. It is just a giant spectacle, and I think that the sound is so good and the sound design is so good that, like, even when you watch it on a big screen TV, you know, you don't necessarily have surround sound, it's still going to sound good. But I think you're doing yourself and the movie a disservice by not taking the opportunity to see this in a theater, for sure. I mean, I want to talk about one of my favorite performances in the movie is John Malkovich, who plays the villainous, evil corporate BP guy, who basically uses his limited knowledge of the science of what's happening on the rig to convince them to skip some steps and then run a test that ends up causing the explosion. And he has some great moments in these scenes where he's arguing his case in terms of why he thinks that certain measures need to be taken in order to speed up the process of drilling and get them back on schedule so that they can make the profits that they're expected to make. Malkovich is just on fire here, and it was surreal to see him. You know, just because it's like, it's so weird now after being John Malkovich. Now I know that's like, what, it's now 17 years later since being John Malkovich, but he is still, I mean, even after that movie where they sort of made a meme out of him, he is still an amazing actor. And I think a lot of people, again, will criticize his performance as being like a James Carville impression and being too cartoonish. But I thought in the context of this movie and what they're trying to achieve, I thought he was amazing. And I think I doubt it's going to happen, but I think he should be considered for some supporting actor, for a supporting actor nomination.
No, it won't happen. I'll go ahead and make that bet right now. And
yeah, well, do you probably agree? I mean, I think that this should be nominated for picture and director, some prestigious,
let me start,
and screenplay too. But
let me start real quick.
Yeah.
So the John Malkovich, I'm not sure the country of origin from which his accent comes from, because it's definitely not the South.
Well, don't get fined.
Well, no, I mean,
it's Louisiana. He's trying to be Cajun.
Yeah, he's trying Cajun. I think he's trying it. And like you said, he's trying for some sort of like slowed down James Carville thing, James Carville-esque thing. And I'm not sure that he totally pulls that off, but that might add to the performance, to be honest with you. It kind of gives him sort of an extra villainous tinge that makes it work. But look, I mean, I can be very nitpicky about accents, especially in the South. Mm-hmm. And look, an actor as gifted as John Malkovich might lose something in the accent, but he doesn't lose his, like, other elements of I'm no acting expert, but he doesn't lose the facial expression, the character beats, the timing, the pacing, the interactions that he has here with Kurt Russell and other characters in the movie. That stuff is still all there, and he's really good. Like, he gives the movie everything that it needs. And not that this movie needs a straight-up villain, because, I mean, there are bigger fish to fry, especially in the moment as people are trying to survive this catastrophic event. But, you know, every movie sort of needs its villain in its own way, and they certainly create one in him. And, I mean, he's He's wearing the BP logo on his button-down shirt as he's calling the shots from the back seat, you know, to undermine Kurt Russell. And those make for some really good moments. And you know, people might argue that it gets a little – it doesn't – I wouldn't say it gets political when it doesn't need to. I think that it's necessary to give you sort of like the bare-bones understanding of what happened and to set up why all of this went wrong and who – if there is somebody to blame and if there is somebody that needs to be held accountable for what happened, we need to lay that out there, and they certainly do that. But again, like the focus should not be on the big picture, or more specifically, like the nitty gritty of who is at fault. I think the movie chooses to focus on those who rose to the occasion in the face of extreme adversity, and that's the more compelling narrative to me and theme that this movie goes for. And that's when it makes me care about Mark Wahlberg and Kurt Russell and Gina Rodriguez and all these other characters who are people of action and people who are put to the test and again rise to the occasion when it comes to saving their own and other people's lives. And that, again, like, it's simple stuff, but if you can do it well, it's really compelling filmmaking.
What did you think of the scene where the Pelican that had been like covered in oil flies into the boat and just dies there? I mean, I liked that moment, and I felt like they needed to address the impact that it had on wildlife and nature. And I feel like that was the moment that they had where they sort of tied it into the disaster, the moment of the disaster itself. Did you like that, or did you read that in that moment, or did you feel like that was sort of more heavy-handed symbolism?
It was heavy-handed a little bit, but it was effective. I thought it was well filmed. It was kind of scary too, the way that was happening. Like if I was in that room and that happened, I would freak out. You know, like, I mean, outside of seeing a giant, you know, the giant structure like the oil rig having exploded and being on fire in front of me, now we have this animal flying into this room and dying in front of me, covered in oil. I mean, it may have hit, it may have been as on the nose as the oil soaked duck in the Saved by the Bell episode where they strike oil and Becky the duck is dead and you know, blood and oil are on their hands and blah blah blah. But no, I mean, it was a fun little moment, and I wondered if that was like a firsthand account of like somebody who was on that boat where they said, hey, this actually happened, and maybe it was something that Peter Berg was like, well, we have to put that in the movie. And there was another moment that, again, talking about the Hollywoodization of it, that felt kind of shoehorned in to sort of give it that extra quote unquote movie feel, movie with a capital M feel. Where this, and it's probably, again, it's best intentions are probably to tell this little mini story within the movie of a man who took action to save other people's lives, and it involves this rig crew member who notices that the oil derrick is going to crash onto everybody and kill them in the midst of their trying to rescue and get to the lifeboats, and he takes to a crane so that he can lodge the derrick in a way where it won't fall on top of everybody, and he ends up losing his life in the process. And that moment to me, just that's one of the moments that felt a little, again, on the nose and kind of phony in the midst of, again, this attempt at realism in telling this story. And so I think that there are a little bit of moments that deter from what feel like truth and what feel genuine as you're watching the movie in the name of entertaining people in a way that's separate from what already entertains us with the much more gritty and harrowing truth-telling stuff.
Well, I thought that the movie, you know, you've mentioned that you thought it was over before you knew it. I thought it was a great length. I know I was never bored. There were no moments that left me cold.
Well, that's a compliment to it.
Yeah, I think it was a great length for it, and I wasn't, I mean, yeah, there could be a 3-hour version of this story to be told. You know, I know that they at some point had planned to film scenes that took place in BP's headquarters in London or something, and that doesn't make it into the movie, and I'm glad, but I just felt like I left this movie just completely satisfied on every level in terms of the story, the characters, which I was invested in. Man, what a heartbreaking scene at the end when Mark Wahlberg's character gets back to the hotel and that man comes up to him and sort of accosts him, saying, "Where's my son?" I mean, that was a great moment. And for Mark Wahlberg, who's usually this tough guy, I thought he was amazing in that moment because he was so vulnerable and scared, and he was already suffering his own shock and tragedy, and then having to deal with this guy who was aggressive and angry. I thought Mark Wahlberg was excellent right there because he was just helpless in that moment and couldn't do anything, couldn't say anything to help this guy, couldn't say anything because he'd already been through a crisis, a traumatic experience, I thought. So that's just one example. Again, I love Malkovich. I love Kurt Russell. I even like Kate Hudson. I'm not the biggest Kate Hudson fan in the world, but I thought she was great, and I cared about her character and what happened to her. And, man, there was a really emotional moment when Wahlberg's reunited with them at the end. So performances, story, visuals, the sound, the special effects, and the music by Steve Jablonsky. I mean, I love this movie, and I can't wait to see it again. Can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah, I'm with you. I definitely recommend it for sure. And I thought you make good points about Wahlberg having really nice performance moments that he doesn't typically have in a lot of his vehicles that he's been in. And it makes me look forward to Patriots Day, which will come out later this year, which, again, will reteam him and Peter Berg as they tell the story of the Boston Marathon bombing that happened a couple of years ago. And it's crazy that, you know, you had mentioned this via text earlier today, that it seems to sort of follow the same exact formula just in terms of how they're going to tell that story is Deepwater Horizon. And you know, to be honest, I'm fine with that. I mean, if these are the kind of movies that we get to dramatize these very recent moments in U.S. history, then I'm probably okay with that. Like, Peter Berg is gifted enough as a filmmaker at this point where I trust him in telling those real-life stories. And I think that he finds an emotional core and finds a way to make these as accessible to the audience as possible. And what's interesting about this movie, Graham, is I think that it's having sort of the opposite effect that most might have predicted for. I think a lot of people probably would have thought that it might have gotten mixed reviews, but would have made money. Whereas it's gotten very good reviews, and it's doing so at the box office. And
yeah.
So, and for that reason, you know, I don't necessarily think that it's going to get nominated for a bunch of Oscars or anything. Maybe it sneaks into some technical categories, but you know, I'm kind of surprised that it's not doing better at the box office. It's just, it's a really entertaining movie that will have a simple connection with an audience, and people will root for the characters to pull through and for you know, things to work out. And people are probably, I don't know if it's because, you know, maybe people in Alabama or more in Louisiana and here, you know, in the Gulf states are more familiar with the story, and maybe it doesn't translate naturally,
yeah.
But I don't know, maybe something gets lost there, but yeah, I'm a little surprised that it's not doing a little better. But,
well, yeah, and especially when Sully is a bona fide hit, you know, and Sully is also about a very recent event in U.S. history. In terms of Sully, it's you know, it has a happy ending going into it. You know, it's about a hero. We all know how that turns out. Deepwater Horizon is basically a tragedy. I mean, people died. The environment was destroyed. It was just an awful, awful thing. So it's definitely a little darker than Sully. So it's also going to be harder for Deepwater Horizon to be a bona fide financial hit because it has a massive budget. I think it started out as like $156 million. Then it got like a subsidy, tax subsidy from the state of Louisiana for filming there that dropped it down to like $110. But that's still a massive budget. That's like twice as much as what Sully made, and it's going to be, it only had $20 million in its opening weekend. It's going to be difficult to call this, you know, a financial success. It might not happen, but I think this is just a movie that is going to, I hope Nick Saban shows this to his team this weekend. It's just one of those movies that's going to live for a long time, that especially just like real people, not like movie people, but real people are going to really enjoy this, get a lot out of it, and I feel like it's going to last. The legacy of the movie is going to last for a long time.
Hey, and speaking of which, there's a Nick Saban reference in the movie.
Oh, my God. I freaked out. They talk about Tuscaloosa and Les Miles.
Oh, it's already dated now. It's already dated, though.
Right.
Les Miles firing.
It's not dated. This is about his – at that time, Les Miles was the coach. This isn't
right.
about, like, present day. But, yeah. But that, what did you think about that?
I thought it was hilarious. I mean, did they say Tuscaloosa, too? I can't remember.
Yes.
But, yeah. Yes. And the guy's like, like you were born in Alabama or something like that.
Or Tuscaloosa, yeah.
Yeah. No, I thought that was pretty great. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's just too specific of a story about U.S. history that may be a reason that it doesn't connect with the rest of the country and worldwide, for that matter. Maybe the spectacle and the special effects are enough to bring people into the theater. But, I mean, there are aspects of the real story in terms of the science and the engineering and the logistics that definitely go over my head, you know, and there are aspects of that in this movie. Like there are shots of what's happening underwater, close-ups of
yeah.
the drill, where it's just like, all right, I'll take your word for it that something bad is happening. You know, I can't tell you exactly what is going on right now, but
yeah.
maybe they'll make some sense of it. And they certainly did. But again, I mean, it's a crazy, very specific, horrible story that happened, and maybe it's just one that people aren't, you know, maybe people, a lot of people here were affected by it, aren't ready to watch it, because, I mean, it's harrowing. It's hard
yeah.
to watch at times, but it is a solid piece of entertainment. It's an entertaining movie, and I'm sure it will be hard for people who know people who were affected by it, and we know a lot here. I mean, it had a large impact, a widespread impact in the Southeast. And you know, but also for that reason, I hope people do see it, because I think that it is, you know, a love letter to the people who were affected by it and the people who did everything that they could to help each other and save each other in the midst of such a horrible tragedy. So it's a positive film, and I can definitely recommend it to people. And again, I mean, this makes me look forward to Patriots Day. What about you?
Oh, yeah. I watched that trailer. And plus, you know, to see that the day after you see Deepwater Horizon, and when I'm like on this big Peter Berg kick to see that trailer, yes, even though I was like, wait a minute, it's the same scene with the guy that's about to go off and experience a disaster at his dangerous job, is like flirting and joking around with his wife in the kitchen, and it's Mark Wahlberg, and Peter, like,
it's
okay,
the same movie, it's the same, you're right, it's the same exact thing.
I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing here, that's fine though, let's just take it for what it is, and I'm just going to look at it as like a double feature, and that's fine. I'm based on that trailer, which did not show us much, doesn't even show you the explosion, just shows you the aftermath. Very excited to see this sort of, it's essentially a cat and mouse story where these guys track down these people responsible. I'm very excited.
Yeah. John Goodman is in the Kurt Russell role too.
Right. Yeah. He's Mr. Jimmy. But yeah, I'm very excited for that. And I think that's going to come out around Christmas. Well, Ben, I'm really glad you went and checked this movie out. Glad you liked it. I don't think it's number one on your list for the year so far, but it sounds like you liked it. And hopefully our discussion will motivate some people to get out there and check it out on the big screen in a big theater with big sound. That's definitely the way to do it. And, you know, I would think it's only going to be around for maybe 3 more weeks based on this opening box office take of about $20 million. Probably only got about 3 more weeks before it starts to kind of peel off. And then you're just going to be stuck with watching it on your iPad. So, Ben, thanks so much for talking about Deepwater Horizon with me.
All right. Thank you.
For more Film Nerds Unlimited, go to filmnerds.com or find us on Facebook and Twitter. If you like what you hear, rate and review our podcast on iTunes. Keep an eye out for the next issue of Film Nerds Unlimited. Coming soon.